Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
You're watching Speak for Yourself, presented by the Popeyes Chicken Sandwich. I'm yum. Hello and welcome, Marcellus.
You sound good.
Wiley here.
Too great. The Popeyes Chicken Sandwich always sounds good.
Oh, I'm in the building with Emmanuel Acho. Hey,
50 Shades of Red.
I love
That's
it.
What I feel like
Except
we got going.
Except, what happened? What happened? You're in the already worn section. You already ran out of your bag. You on part two. Rerun over
he
there.
He called me out, but I got 18 new suits that just came in. I'm coming with heat for y'all the rest of the season.
Everybody always said that at school when they got caught out. All right, let's get it started with the Cowboys, who have big expectations coming into the 2020 season. Dallas missed the playoffs last year and haven't been to the Super Bowl in 25 years. New head coach Mike McCarthy said recently, quote, "We're in this to win a championship. Make no bones about it." Ezekiel Elliott knows the Cowboys have the roster to get it done. Take a listen to Zeke.
This is probably the most talented team I've been on. Look at the depth chart. Look at the roster. Just look how many, you know, Pro Bowlers, how many All-Pro guys we have out there. And, I mean, I think it's just unmatched.
Bull. So, Otto, is a Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys this year?
Yo, it is Super Bowl or bust for them boys.
It is?
It is, yes. But it is, absolutely. But think about this. If you're a Cowboys fan, this is a Super Bowl roster. If I'm the head, first off, you got a head coach who doesn't back down. He said, if you're not in it for the Super Bowl, what are you in it for? Mike McCarthy, that's what he said. If you're not trying to win the Super Bowl, I don't even know what you're doing in this business. But now let's talk about these boys. You got a quarterback who's a top eight quarterback. If you're a Cowboys fan, he's a top five quarterback.
Who has ever walked around saying, I'm top eight?
I'm saying, you got a top five, you got a top five quarterback in Dak. You
top five in the NFL?
Let Cowboys fans tell me.
Okay.
I think he's top 10, but let Cowboys fans
tell me. You're from Dallas.
Fine,
you're
Marcellus.
Dallas now. It's showing.
Let me start my rant.
Yeah, start over your
let
rant.
Let me start my rant.
What the
you
hell?
Got a top 10 quarterback in Dak.
Okay,
that's fair.
There we go.
You got a top five running back in Zeke. That's fair.
Yeah.
You got a top five offensive line in their offensive line. That's a. Stop. Stop. They have top five offensive line.
Off
you got a top five receiving core. You could go top three receiving core between CeeDee, Amari, and Michael Gallup. Okay, let's talk about the defense. You got probably the best young linebacking tandem between Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch. You got two.
When healthy.
When healthy. DeMarcus Lawrence, Everson Griffin, two dudes that gave you 13 and 14 sacks just 2 years ago.
What about last year?
Chill, chill, chill. Stop that nonsense.
I do homework, too.
So if you're a Cowboys fan, if you're Zeke, I understand where he's coming from. Think about this, bro. Zeke's rookie year, 2016, Cowboys were 13-3. If he's saying that this is a better roster than that roster, it has to be Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys.
Oh, my God. Hell no, it's not Super Bowl or bust. Matter of fact, it's not that for any team ever.
That's a lie.
That is... Emmanuel Acho, who's over there sweating already. I can see I got you on these roast, boy.
Oh, it's hot in the studio.
Okay, it's hot. You want. I thought you were clean and cool right there. This is Mr. Hot Take. I'm an analyst.
I'll start with this.
This is what they do when you want to go out there and make a declaration for the clicks. How the hell are you going to say that this team right now, who hasn't been to the playoffs last couple of years, let's talk about this team. Acho, you know what you were doing last time the Cowboys were in the playoffs? What were you doing? Covering those Kansas, Iowa State games in the Big 12? Like, this team is talent-laden. Yes, they are rich in talent. But when has talent ever added up to making you the champion? Think about it. The New England Patriots just ran off a dynasty. And every single player, you've been through it as well, looked at the Patriots and said, I don't see the talent over there, but what I see is the results. And if you look at the Dallas Cowboys, what we're not seeing is the results. We're not looking at this team as it is greater than the sum of its parts. We're seeing a team last year that was 8-8, but basically the same roster. They're just praying now that they're going to get healthy and the offensive line can stay healthy and not just use their name because they're getting old, they're getting poor because of those injuries. I just don't see it adding up in your mind. I see it happening on the field, but when you add up just talent, it always comes up short, bro.
But think about this, Marcellus, because you're right when you talk about the sum of the parts. But I think about if you throw me in the kitchen and you put me in that kitchen with some flour, some sugar, couple eggs, some milk,
some baking soda.
Cook. I'm going to be in there cooking. I'm going to be trying to make a cake or some something.
Okay.
But I'm not going to be able to do it because I'm not a masterful chef. You see, I'm going to be in there spilling stuff all over the place. That was Jason Garrett. But if you throw me in there with them same ingredients and you put a chef that's competent in this kitchen behind that stove, they might make you a multi-layered cake. Mm. Mike McCarthy is coming in here, is supposed to be the masterful chef. You gave Mike McCarthy, who won a Super Bowl before, a coach with Super Bowl pedigree, you're coming in here and giving him a QB like Dak Prescott, a running back like Zeke, quarterbacks or receivers galore. Okay. I mean, you just gave him. He had Amari plus Michael Gallup, and then you gave him a freaking CeeDee Lamb, a dude who arguably was the best receiver in college football last year.
That they didn't need.
They didn't need, but they
didn't need receiver.
So now on the flip side, you look at the defense, and you gave him a guy in Everson Griffin, already coupled with DeMarcus Lawrence. Oh, by the way, a 30-year-old Aldon Smith, who when he's not in trouble, Dude was about to walk into the Hall of Fame. I mean, he had 19 and a half sacks his sophomore season. That's stupid.
Yeah.
So you gave him that on the flip side, and I don't want to hear no excuses about the secondary because you can get Earl Thomas right now in a Black Friday sale for the team. I mean, real talk. So I don't want to hear no excuses about their secondary. So if you're a Cowboys fan, you have to demand a Super Bowl this year because if not now, then when?
Oh, you demand it and it just appears. That's how the game goes.
No, with talent and coaching, it appears.
Not even with just talent. There's another variable that we're not respecting that is bigger than chemistry. It's the fact that first make the damn playoffs. Like, how are we going to just skip the step of early round playoffs and just say they're going to be Super Bowl or bust? I just think it's absurd expectations and it doesn't sound realistic. Let's bring in somebody who knows a thing or two about the NFL. Our guy, LeVar Arrington. So, LeVar, High Top from Colors. is it Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys this year?
Cool. Well, first of all, Pinky Acho Jr. came in hot. He must have been off that yak because he is way off on what his assessment of this is, all right? Think about this. How old are you, Acho?
Right, 29,
baby.
Think about this. You were 5 years old the last time Dallas made an appearance in the NFC championship round of the playoffs. You know, there's only two other teams that fit that billing of elitism, and that's the Washington football team and the team in Detroit. Detroit, stand up, Detroit, right? So here's my thing. It can't be Super Bowl or bust for the Dallas Cowboys. It sounds good to the fan base to sell the hope of it's Super Bowl or bust. I get what's going on here. This is all rhetoric. This is advertising and marketing at its finest. I don't give it any type of credence, no type of relativity whatsoever. I look at this as the Dallas Cowboys need to just work on having a successful year. Great that you have the greatest roster.
Somebody bring me on camera. Somebody bring me on.
Come on.
Here the thing.
What?
LeVar,
Colors.
You told on this, LeVar, what y'all don't know if y'all just now watching, LeVar is a high school football coach.
Not a good one.
That's correct.
And you were 13-10 overall.
I've been in the playoffs. I got two seasons in, and I got two playoff appearances.
Everybody getting the playoffs.
That was some real 13-10
talk you just gave me, LeVar. The Cowboys, they just need to focus on having a good season and handing the ball off. Heck no. That's not what
you're
playing the game for. You know way better than me, sir. And I can tell by that chain, because that chain around your neck wasn't cheap. Mm. You had a much more illustrious career. You should know better than anybody. You don't just play the game just to play the game.
No, you don't. But you got to be realistic. You don't play the game, just play the game. But ask Marcellus the realistic aspect of going to the playoffs, going to the Super Bowl, and going home before the season gets to the end in Super Bowl, whatever number it may be. It's not easy. I played in the playoffs twice in my career, twice in 7 years. And it's not easy to make it to the playoffs. So while you're not strapping up to just play the regular season and go home, you also got to be realistic. If you haven't been there and you haven't done it, you got to try to get to where you first need to get to, which is the playoffs, and then stay there. And let's try to make it to a NFC championship before we start talking Super Bowl.
The Cowboys were just in the playoffs 2 years ago, gentlemen. Marcellus, 2 years.
Championship round.
Yeah, that's the thing. Not tremendous success in that. Remember, they came out there to L.A., played the Rams, and That didn't go so well. Actually, Ezekiel, what, 47 yards on 20 carries, and now he's the one at the podium saying, this is the most talented roster. We're going to potentially do things this year. We'll see how that talent translates. Nino Brown was right in terms of what LeVar is saying. I hear you, Nino. The playoffs is a different season, just like the preseason is a different season than the regular season. It's amazing to watch these mammals, all 53 of them, get even faster, more intense by the season, preseason, the regular season, postseason. I was in the postseason 3 times. One and done each one of those times. But in those one playoff games every one of those 3 years, I noticed, whoa, this is a whole different animal out here. So, one thing you shouldn't do is ever talk about talent to the football gods. Because the football gods sit there and say, how dare you not think you have to work for this? Just think everything I gave you is enough. I will condemn you. Name the last talent-laden team to win it all. Like the one we walk into the sea and say, look at that team. Good Lord, they're going to win it all. We didn't even say about Kansas City last year.
Don't lie.
I would say Broncos.
I would say
Broncos 2015. Peyton Manning, Broncos.
I don't know about
that's a good challenge,
but that, I mean, it's too rare to sit there and say the equation goes talent plus talent equals championship. Fair. And that's, to me, too lazy right there.
Well, I mean, I'll just end it with this. Dallas has given us absolutely no reason to have confidence in the fact that they can make a Super Bowl run until they give us some type of evidence. Tangible evidence that we can believe that with all the talent that they have, that they can make a run for the Super Bowl. There's no reason to put Super Bowl or bust on their names. Simple. Say less.
Here's my thing, LeVar, and I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
Cancel that.
And more than anything, I respect the outfit. But I'm not gonna let you put a dampen on the Cowboys ceiling. I understand you have to have realistic expectations. But honestly, if you're the Cowboys, I do not think it is unrealistic when you say the holding back point for the Cowboys, the limiting reactant, that's the better word.
Oh.
The limiting reactant for the Cowboys was Jason Garrett. We all concluded.
Oh, don't do that.
No, I'm not. I'm speaking of fact. 8-8, Jason
Garrett.
It's been
24 seasons, Acho.
8-8, Jason Garrett.
If someone has let you down,
Quincy Carter, okay?
Acho.
I'm talking about the Cowboys.
Let me ask you this. If you were going to leave somebody to watch your home or watch them cars that you like so much, and they failed to protect and handle their business with your property 24 times, would you have any confidence that they're going to, on the 25th time, be able to get it right?
They're going to get it right.
If I got a new boss running it, i.e. a new head coach, I would have a little bit of hope.
I just don't know.
I'm going to question your decision-making if you give them that 25th time. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Hell, he wouldn't. You got to crawl before you walk, and the Cowboys need to understand that, man. Don't put the cart before the horse, and stop blaming damn Jason Garrett.
It was his fault.
Y'all had the number one offense last year with an offensive-minded coach. How do you improve on the number one offense? Answer that, Acho. Be careful. The defense last year, underachieved based on names and expectations. Offensive line last year, underachieved, and it's aging. The offense was top-notch last year, and they still finished 8-8. But somehow, some way, you're going to be able to squeeze some juice out of this.
Tell them, Pinky. Tell them. You got one more time.
Coming up at the top of the hour.
You got one more time.
Jerry Rice, the great, the GOAT, would rather have Jimmy Garoppolo over Dak Prescott, the top 8 quarterback. We'll tell you why one of us agrees with him. But first, the Chiefs are still on the Super Bowl high. We'll tell you if that hangover will hurt them this season. Next!
Speak for yourself.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's head to Kansas City, where the Chiefs are attempting to do something that has only happened 3 times in the last 30 years.
Really?
Repeat as the champs.
Oh.
Now, they're definitely not being shy with their predictions. Pro Bowl defensive tackle Chris Jones said they bring 5 rings to Kansas City.
5.
And superstar Tyreek Hill followed that up saying, quote, why I say 5? Why not go with 7?
Oh.
Joined once again by the man with the chain, LeVar Arrington.
But Marcellus, I'm coming to you first.
What are you concerned the Chiefs will suffer a Super Bowl hangover this year?
Yes, I am concerned. After thinking about this, I'm hella concerned about these Chiefs because of what that collective hangover could look like. And it affects everyone different when we're talking about success. And was the hangover straight up tequila? Or was it tequila with some OJ? Because we know how that sugar hits shit, and the next day it's a little different than if you took it straight pure. And then listening to Tyreek Hill and listening to Chris Jones, ooh, they went heavy on the OJ, man. It just sounds like, one, it took this franchise 50 years to get a second Super Bowl, and already y'all saying, we chasing Jordan. Forget Jordan. We passing Jordan. What did they say? Why stop at five?
Let's go to seven.
Okay, here's the thing. When people talk about sophomore slumps, and if you look at it in a vacuum, them trying to repeat is the sophomore year of success after their first year winning championship last year. This is why sophomore slump is a mental dynamic and a real thing. Because if you really look at it, after you have success the first time, the second time you don't go all the way back to square one. You think you got a little of it in the bag already. So this team is already thinking they got a little of it in the bag. Like, some of these wins are just going to come to them. And that will be their fatal flaw, mindset. Belichick is the only one to pull this off in the modern years, last 20 years for us. And he doesn't talk about it. He walks it. And this team right now is talking a lot. I don't know if they're going to be able to walk it.
Here's why I disagree with you, Sir Marcellus. Now, personally, I've never had a hangover. Alcohol's never been my vice. I told you, I'm a gambling man, not necessarily a drinking man. But
what I know about hangovers,
it is that you consume something in excess. So what you're telling me, Marcellus, is that the Chiefs have celebrated in excess. But remember, they couldn't have. Because when it's time to turn up after the Super Bowl winning, the world turned down because of the pandemic. The Chiefs haven't had time to celebrate or gloat or enjoy this success in excess, because the season as we knew it, it turned down and the lights turned off when they was trying to turn them up and let the club stay open. The Chiefs also, remember, are so much better than everybody else. We are all track fans here. Marcellus,
really?
Lamar, we've all proclaimed ourselves as track fans. This past weekend, I'm watching 2015 World Championships Usain Bolt. He stumbled out of the blocks. Fastest man the world has ever seen. And he trips. Dude is literally face forward about to fall out the blocks, but he still won the race, 995 in 100 meters. Why?
Nothing.
Because he was that much better than everybody else. So even if the Chiefs were to have some sort of Super Bowl hangover, you say, we wouldn't be able to tell because they're still that much better than the competition. Let's talk about the competition real quick before we get to you, LeVar. Chargers, they just lost their stud Derwin James in the back end. He ain't finna slow down the Chiefs. The Broncos, Drew Lockett, quarterback, he's young and up and coming, but up and still coming. He ain't about to slow down or go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. And then you look at the Raiders. As long as John Gruden at the helm and he can't pick between a quarterback, he ain't finna slow down the Chiefs. So when I look at the Chiefs, even if they are hungover, even if they are a little wobbly, even if they can't walk in a straight line, they still gonna get to the destination faster than the competition.
Well, divisionally, I mean, I could see them having success. And I'm not disagreeing with you, Acho, so I'm not even going to debate the whole idea of how strong the AFC is. I agree. I think Super Bowl hangover is overstated for this Kansas City team. Thus, the reason why I wore the fit that I wore today. When I heard that this was a topic, I wanted to show y'all how into this Kansas City Chiefs thing I really am. Not only do I think they're not going to have a Super Bowl hangover, but you got to keep in mind, sometimes winning is a product of wanting more. And this team, in a lot of ways, are looking at that 49ers Super Bowl game and saying, you know what, fellas? This was our gimme Super Bowl. Why? We weren't supposed to win that. We were not supposed to win that Super Bowl. San Francisco did what they needed to do, missed a couple plays. It opened up the door for us to be able to pull this one off. That picture of the quarterback, what Pat holding the dang Lombardi trophy is ironically quite the same as when Tom Brady held his first one up. Oh, it's like you're in disbelief that you got it, right? You're in disbelief that you got it.
Give a damn.
They will not only not have a Super Bowl hangover, but they will be much better than what they were even a year ago.
Man, will you get out of here, man? Look.
Red shirt, baby.
To calm down KC. With this. Oh, the pictures look the same, so that's what they're going to have the same results. LeVar, prepare better. All right, here we go. So much can happen in a football season for anybody to sit here and predict that level of success. And when have we seen this level of success? The Cowboys in 92 and 93, Broncos 97, 98, and I talked about the Patriots 03 and 04. And let's just talk about their one championship. Forget the seven that they're predicting. How about the one championship? When Patrick Mahomes was hurt, where was your confidence then? When they were down twice in the playoffs by 10 points, including one game, they were down 24 points. Where was the confidence then? So in those moments, it seems like at times this team barely got by. And you're talking about how great they are stumbling out the blocks. So
first time is the hardest time.
I don't know about that because we don't have too many examples of somebody doing it again, damn it. But let me hit y'all.
Please. I'm waiting for something,
Marcellus.
You know
something is going to shut you up.
He's still just talking.
It's time for Marcellus to hit you with the full screen king time.
Okay, here we go.
On this pie chart, let's just look at back-to-backs and see what they could do. If I could do some quick math, I know you guys went to state school, so you're going to take your time.
That is hilarious.
More than 60% of the time, the defending Super Bowl winner either misses the playoffs or is out before the conference final. I'm going to say that again. 60%, more than half, they don't even get to the conference finals. So I had to hit y'all with that. And Acho, don't you ever,
talk to me.
Ever up here,
talk to me.
Talk to the hydration situation king about a hangover. You over here talking about, he prefaces
that dude.
By saying, I don't even drink that much, but let me give you a
that
hangover
dude.
101 class.
Please.
Let me tell you this. It doesn't matter how much you drink if you haven't had anything to eat. And in this situation, I don't know if these guys are working the same and out there eating like they want to. And remember in the NFL, you only eat what you kill, brother.
I like your That's analogy, true. Marcellus, but once again, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you why you're wrong.
Oh, yes.
You're wrong,
tell
Marcellus,
him why.
For a couple reasons. The first one is, don't give me stats about other teams and talk about how it will correlate to a player we've never seen before in Pat Mahomes. Because I can tell you a whole bunch of stats about people that grew up in Compton and what was the likelihood that they would go to Columbia. Probably zilch, but look at you in this fine suit on this fine studio desk, sitting next to this fine young gentleman myself. So let me tell you about a whole bunch of other stats about things that didn't happen, but when you talk about special individuals like Pat Mahomes, those previous stats are irrelevant.
Mm.
But the other thing, LeVar made a great point. Things didn't go right for the Chiefs last time, Marcellus.
There you go.
Pat Mahomes got hurt in the middle of the season. The Chiefs, it's not like their record was phenomenal, still came back. Okay, now you're talking about the Super Bowl. It was not looking good. I was there. I didn't have great seats, but I was there. It was not looking good.
You weren't working at Fox yet.
No,
baby.
I wasn't. They wouldn't treat me right where I was. They wouldn't treat me right.
Oh, wow.
Okay, but it was not going good. All of a sudden, the Chiefs still found a way to win. So to LeVar's point, if you want to say the Chiefs stole one, if you even want to say this first one for the Chiefs, they had to work hard for. Now, this second one, it might even come a little easier. I got to disagree with you, Marcellus. And definitely don't speak no negativity about no previous teams and talk about how that's the indication on these Chiefs.
Can I go here, Nino? Let me get this one
do.
In.
Please
Only
do.
Two
please
of the last 12 Super Bowl winners.
I'm looking at the same Nuggets
you are.
Even
improved their win total.
I am.
And here we go again. You ain't looking at these Nuggets because these are my notes right here. Legion of Boom. Y'all remember those days?
I
remember. Acho, was you still in college?
No. I was there.
You were there?
I was playing against them. I went into Legion.
Oh, here comes the dynasty. Legion of Boom. Russell Wilson. Running game.
Did they not go to the Super Bowl the year later?
Did they win it?
But is that a hangover?
Did they get seven?
Is getting
Did they
there?
Get seven? Did they get five?
Marcellus.
Did they get four?
So
Did they get three?
You're telling me that an interception because your head coach felt like throwing the ball instead of running the ball.
That's not a part of football
that's
anymore.
That's a hangover?
There he goes, the
that's
fantasy land.
But is that a hangover?
U-turn.
I agree with Pinky.
Thank you. I'm not done. Hold on. I'm trying to walk y'all into this rabbit hole.
You need a runner.
How about
you
the 2010 Green Bay Packers? Oh, they got Aaron Rodgers.
They
that's a special man.
They won the next year.
Hold on. And what happened after that? Got in a divisional game and got spanked by 17 by the Giants.
A hangover.
Oh, hold on.
I'm not tipsy.
Hold on.
We didn't say the Chiefs are going to be Super Bowl tipsy.
Yes.
We said a Super Bowl hangover.
Yes, because we are prefacing this hangover by saying that this team is talking about a dynasty. So it is a hangover
I mean,
in a relative scope. And then
you got a point there.
Hey, let's
you
go to the Green Bay Packers.
Somebody mute LeVar's mic. Hold on.
I'm the result-based person. I'm sorry. I'm up here looking at empirical data. I don't give a damn what happened. The fact this is real facts. What happened in the mid-90s?
What happened?
Remember when the Green Bay Packers were out there?
I was still wearing diapers.
And Mike McCarthy.
I was wearing diapers.
Okay. Oh, that's scary.
And Mike Holmgren and those guys. I'm just giving you guys, because I'm a historian, all the times I heard, here comes the dynasty. And then all the times they only go to one Super Bowl, or if they even go to two, they don't even win that second Super Bowl. I don't care how they don't get out of bed. If it's a hangover, they missed the alarm clock, they just were tired. They are not going to go out there and think this is going to be smooth sailing and go forward and win another Super Bowl.
Coming up,
former NBA champion Tristan Thompson joins us to tell us if the Harden-Westbrook duo is a failure in Houston. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
You're wrong, Marcel.
Did I win that one? I kind of won. Fox NFL Sunday is back September 13th with a great slate of early games. Then it's a blockbuster in America's Game of the Week. As Brady and the new look Bucks take on Breeze and the Saints. Check local listings for the games in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app. Kill that Reeves. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's talk about the Rockets, who were supposed to wrap up their series and move on to the Lakers. Well, not so fast. Chris Paul finished with 28 points, including a game-tying three-pointer late in the fourth. Russell Westbrook followed that with two huge turnovers late in the game that sealed the win for OKC. James Harden broke down why they have to play Game 7. Take a listen.
A lot of careless turnovers, including myself. Just too many turnovers, especially in the playoff game, in the closeout game. Just give them too many opportunities. I think defensively we're doing a pretty good job. With them only scoring 104 points, but you know, we shot ourselves in the foot by turning basketball over and giving us less opportunities to score basketball.
Joined now by former NBA champion, Fox NBA analyst, Tristan Thompson.
Club ready.
All right, Tristan, is this series proof the Harden-Westbrook combo is a failure? Money.
No, not at all. I think the playoffs, people got to realize that the playoffs is a whole new season. That's how I like to take that approach. And it's all about the matchups. So obviously we know Russ missed four games with the quad injury and stuff. And, you know, that's a serious injury. So the first thing I'm wondering is he even healthy right now? But I know Russ loves the game so much and he knows what's on the line. So I'm pretty sure he's not healthy, but that's still no excuse. Because like you guys know as athletes, you know, once you get between those four lines, there's no excuses. Either you're playing or you're not playing. So for them, I'm not surprised it went to game seven. You know, I actually have OKC winning. But I think this series is going to go seven games just because of matchups of two guard-heavy teams. So I think if the Rockets do lose, you know, Daryl Morey's going to obviously, like every other GM, when the season's over, they got to reevaluate the roster and see what they can do better. But until that, you know, time has come, you know, they got to use what they got and guys got to be ready to play.
Yeah, this is not proof that it's a failure. It takes time. One, you can't even use this series as the indicator. This is a 4 seed versus a 5 seed. Like, if you blink, they damn near the same team. I understand the star power makes you emotionally react differently. But if you look at what they did in terms of body of work, a lot of people underestimated OKC, and now you're starting to see that you may have been in the wrong. Look at this. From what you said, and I said it in the last block, how the playoffs are different ball game. The playoffs, different complete season. And they're all black belts out there, just different degrees. And if you can't respect your opponent fully, maybe Houston, after that game 5, reading the press clippings, realizing, oh, this is going to be easy. Looking forward to the Lakers series, which everyone anticipates and everyone expects. But Chris Paul had to go out there and show you why he is an MVP candidate, why he did go to OKC and make it happen with a young roster full of former Clipper greats. We got CP3 out there. We got my boy Gallinari out there. We got SGA. Like, everybody's out there. We got squad out there. And it just seems like Houston right now is saying, we are talented and we expect to move on.
But as we just talked about in the last block, you got to go out there and make it happen.
Man, I think both of y'all are being very unusually kind. Not unusual for you, Tristan, but for Marcellus, you got to make this make sense for me.
Oh.
This combo is proving to be a failure, but not just because of the series. We all have recency bias. Remember, they shipped Chris Paul off to OKC and left him for dead. Like, we didn't even think Chris Paul was going to stay in OKC. And just to make sure I wasn't tripping, last night, I do my work, I do my research, I read the articles after the trade between the Rockets and the Thunder. Who were the winners? It said James Harden was a winner. Daryl Morey was a winner. Mike D'Antoni was a winner. Russell Westbrook was a winner. Who were the losers? Chris Paul. That was literally it. Thunder have overachieved. The Rockets have underachieved. But furthermore, Tristan, you got to help me out with this because you're the basketball expert. You should be the basketball savant. How dare we think that you can take a perennial scoring leader, ball-centric player in James Harden, combine him with another scoring champion, ball-centric player in Russell Westbrook, and be like, oh, you know what? We're going to take two wrongs, and surely this will make a right. This series isn't just the indicator. I'm not going to sit here with recency bias and say, well, because the Thunder are overachieving, that this series is enough to say it. The combination was really a failure from the jump. This series is just a magnifying glass, which is showing the world, wait a second, this shouldn't even be going to seven.
Mm.
I mean, listen, they've had success with each other in OKC, so they know how to play with each other. And obviously, you know, it's no different than with D-Wade and Bron. You know, people had those same questions. Can D-Wade and... Can... Well, listen here, man. Those are two MVPs, you know, so we're going to give them the respect, all right?
Okay.
No, but people had the same questions about the Heat with LeBron and D-Wade. People had their questions. Who's going to take the last shot? Who's going to have the ball with the game on the line? So I think for them, you know, it's playoffs are all about matchups, so you never know. And I think for their situation, it's you know, they did have a lot of turnovers, so they have their reasons. But the reason why I thought OKC had the advantage is just because the complementary players I like a little bit more than Houston's, just because, you know, you have Dennis Schroeder, SGA, who's my guy, he's a Canadian, my young fella right there, and then you got Steven Adams. I think all those guys are great pieces where they if they all play well, it's going to be tough for Houston to beat. So I can't just say in this series, you know, this determines whether Russ and James don't work. But also, first of all, if they played against Utah Jazz, Utah Jazz didn't want no smoke with the Rockets.
You can't say first of all 2 minutes into your combo now, Tristan. You should have led with
it. Oh, well, listen here. That's 6 months at Texas. 6 months at Texas. That's what happens, you know.
Wait, Tristan, I got something. No, I got something because I'm confused. I'm confused. You're starting to confuse me, sir. You can't have a team that has two MVPs, NBA MVPs of the last three MVPs, and then now tell me that a team with your Canadian homeboy in the Thunder should be able to beat said team. I understand that basketball is a team sport. Now, it's truly lesser of a team sport than other team sports that we cover on the show, but I will still give you that basketball is a team sport. But you can't sit here and tell me that you're picking the Thunder to beat the Rockets, yet say that the combo of Harden and Westbrook isn't a failure.
Because about the matchups, this would be a totally different conversation if they're playing. If Rockets are playing against Utah. It's all about matchups.
Just because. You got
no, because everything is. Listen, it's 5-on-2. You're basically saying you got other guys. Like you got PJ Tucker guarding Steven Adams. There's a mismatch right there. You got SGA and Daniel House. Okay, we're gonna go SGA. Like it's just you two guys. Yes, they can carry you and win you a lot of games. But when it comes to the playoffs, your complimentary guys got to step up.
Two guys.
So like Daniel House, PJ. No, KCP at 14 and 16. We know those numbers. You saw those numbers right there. Dwight Howard, 11 and 8, three blocks. Come on now.
Whatever.
Come on now. Those numbers are all important. So the complimentary players got to step up.
Look, I'm not even going in the weeds with y'all. It ain't that damn deep. Look, you got to understand that there is a certain level of reverence you pay when you are introduced to another great on your roster. Everyone sits there from the outside and just thinks how we're going to add that talent with that talent and just get more talent and it's just going to be easier. But there also is an integration and it's a process. Dwayne Wade and LeBron went through that in his first year. Now, they made it to the finals, but they didn't win the finals in part because they even speak on this of how to respect somebody but not go so far as the reverence. We saw it in the last possessions of that game where in typical order,
James Harden should have the basketball. What was happening? Russell Westbrook was taking the ball. And you know what happens? When you can't just say alpha, beta, because it's two alphas, that becomes an interesting dynamic when you're going against a dog, as we just saw with Chris Paul. So I'm not saying it's a failure, because in the initial stages, those are things that need to get worked out. But who knows? They go out there and win the next game, game seven, and then they are past that hurdle. They are past
that. Then they got to beat the Lakers.
And then they got the Lakers.
Good luck.
What, I mean, it's going to be a good luck. If it's OKC or Houston's,
you know what?
But that is something to put in your
mind. Y'all know, y'all remember in high school, we'll go to high school, when your teacher would say, define a word without using that word, right? Marcellus, define this without using this. You defining failure without using the word failure. I mean, that's exactly what you did when talking about these Rockets.
Failure?
You just said, well, they got Harden and they got Westbrook and they're trying to figure out how to combine them, as if we didn't see the Warriors bring Durant in. Another superstar.
Oh, that's not this.
Two-time MVP.
That's not this.
Come on, don't you go there with that. That ain't the same thing.
It's not the same thing, because Steve Kerr even just said it this week. Kevin Durant is the most talented basketball player I've ever seen, including Michael Jordan. You know what that meant to Steph?
Go ahead.
Steph said, he better than me, but I'm going to let this man go get it. Yes.
Tristan, let me tell
you.
Tristan, let me get him. There's a difference.
That ain't the same.
That ain't the same. There's a difference between being the most talented and being the best. Steph Kerr was very intentional in saying he's the most talented. He ain't say he was the best, because Tristan played with the best.
But Steph said he was the best because he let KD take over that team.
James Harden might be the best scorer, but just because he's the best scorer, just because Russell Westbrook might be the most athletic, does not mean all of a sudden that those two best.
Until you prove my point.
No, I'm not proving
that's the beef that's going on. Harden looking at Westbrook like, you ain't better than me. And I bet you Westbrook
which
like,
is a failure. You just saying they looking
it's
at each
not
other
a failure.
With beef.
What if they get past this round?
What ifs? What ifs?
We're not there yet. So why are we condemning it? You did this. You already got a viral video of you condemning the Lakers after their game one loss. You going to do that
again? I'm not condemning.
You're not condemning? What are you doing?
Okay. That viral video still has salt.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, listen, game seven is going to determine everything. Yeah, you definitely switched up after game one. But, yeah, we're going to let you slide with that, Acho. We're going to let you slide.
Yeah.
But, no, like we said, this is Russ's, third game back with the team. He's probably not, like Wally said, someone's got to be like, okay, we both MVPs. All right, who's going to be the top dog? You know, I still love you, respect you, still an MVP. But
in a close game,
why can't they? If it's about winning.
My point, Tristan, you and Marcellus are proving my point.
No.
The dissension, the fact of, remember what happened last night. What do we see? Okay, Russell Westbrook, he takes the ball down the court. Air balls. Okay, next time, James Harden, he takes the ball down the court. Tries to draw a foul, complains he can't draw the foul, shoots the three, misses. Okay, last possession, Russell Westbrook goes down the court. 12 seconds left, throws the ball away. Those two guys, y'all are proving the point that it's the combination. When Harden was on his own, he didn't have to figure out, okay, is Russ going to take it this time or is Harden? When Russ was on his own, he didn't have to decipher. Y'all are talking about two alpha males. That doesn't work in relationships. That doesn't work on the court. Y'all should know better.
Relationships? Really? Who closes out in a close-out game? That's the conversation they're having on the court right now. We saw it last night. We're going to see it in game seven, and they're working through that process. Sorry, Acho. They can't work through the process.
Two MVPs still working through the process.
To your speed. Coming up, Earl.
It'll be all right, man. I'll figure it out.
Baggage with the Ravens. We'll tell you if the Chargers should give him a clean slate. Next.
Ooh,
it's going to get spicy. Speak for yourself. Presented by Hyundai.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. We're going to keep it rolling with Earl Thomas, who's looking for a job after being released last week by the Ravens. Uh-oh, he punched a teammate. Well, it looks like the Chargers need another safety after reports say Derwin James will be out 6 to 8 months with knee surgery. But L.A.'s head coach Anthony Lynn seems set in the secondary, saying, quote, why the hell would I be looking anywhere else? LeVar back with us. LeVar, you've been missed, but Marcellus, going to you first. Would Earl Thomas be worth the headache for them Chargers?
No, he wouldn't be worth the headache. This hurts me because I know I got love for you, Acho. This is your UT guy and David Mulugeta. I know this is your client. David up all night like, damn, I didn't know I had to work this hard for Earl Thomas. Yeah, you're starting to realize that reputation precedes you. And some of it's not even reputation, just our mental record precedes Earl Thomas walking into a building. Think about this. He's on the wrong side of 30, which any NFL player knows
that they try to put the first strike on your record just because you turned 30. Even if you're balling, they're just like, ah, he's on the wrong side of 30. But there are images that flash through your head when you think of Earl Thomas, and all of them aren't good. Despite him being amazing, voted, what, to the All-Decade team. We know who he is. He's a future Hall of Famer. But damn it, did you give the middle finger to the Seattle Seahawks on the way out?
It was warranted.
Warranted or not, they gave you all your money. You should have been like, thank you for your services. It was a beautiful time. And then, as a veteran, because I'm a guy who benefited off of the vet rules and the vet opportunities. My last 2 years in Jacksonville was a paid vacation because Marcellus still plays the run well, is a high character guy, and will influence these guys who can still play well in terms of how to approach the game as a professional. But then Earl Thomas this offseason has some marital issues that are not even rookie mistakes. That's just like, people going to look at you sideways in the NFL no matter how old you are, especially if you're trying to live by the vet rules. And then we get into a kind of lighthearted situation, but still it counts. This is actually on the field. Earl Thomas got up to the podium talking about, man, people look like they're scared to tackle Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, like, what they scared of? They don't want that smoke. And then I remember watching a football game with Earl Thomas on the field and seeing, Nate Dogg woke up and said, hold up. What is going on? So if you combine what is happening to him professionally in terms of how people respect him and the esteem they had for him and where they are now, you get into a fight with a teammate, supposedly. They vote you off the island. The team said, we're good. And now you're in this situation, Earl Thomas, and there's film of you looking like that on the wrong side of 30. I don't know, man. It's going to be tough sledding for Earl.
Marcellus, you know as well. But let me start like this. Marcellus, have you ever been in a fight with a teammate?
No. Well, you mean that little, break it up. Thank you.
LeVar, have you been in a fight with a teammate?
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Many times.
You've been into an altercation. It don't matter. Yes.
Oh, it matters.
Worse than a punch.
Everybody been in altercation.
With helmets on.
So, yes, Earl Thomas is worth the headache for the Chargers, because for every bad clip, the few bad clips you have of Earl Thomas, although there were a few last year, I got to keep it a buck, even though Earl's my guy, we have 10 amazing clips of Earl Thomas. Mm-hmm. But then let's talk about the Legion of Boom. Everybody, even loose football fans, know about the Legion of Boom. Oh, it was constructed in the 2010s. You take Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor, then you go take Richard Sherman the next year. Well, who constructed the Legion of Boom? A man by the name of Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator for Seahawks at the time. Where is Gus Bradley? He's currently the defensive coordinator for the LA Chargers.
Yes, sir.
So that only makes sense. But then let's dig a little deeper, Marcellus, because I cannot stand when people try to slander Earl Thomas's character, sir. Does Earl Thomas have a rap sheet? Does Earl Thomas have a record? Has Earl Thomas even gotten suspended or missed a drug test? We got NFL owners who have been arrested with, who've been pulled over with drugs in their system.
Uh-oh.
We got owners who've been arrested in relation to prostitution stings.
Uh-oh.
We got owners with longer rap sheets than Earl. Mom, just saying this, Marcellus, if you gonna paint Earl, if the world is going to try to paint Earl as a headache, let's just put in context what a headache is. Because realistically speaking, what has Earl actually done besides get into a fight with a teammate, which you said you've done, LeVar said he's done. I ain't no fighter wearing my Easter suit up here, but I've done.
Go ahead, Wally.
He punched a teammate, not got into a fight. I don't think this was the same old, hey, break it up scuffle. And he almost got killed this offseason. Y'all can look into the details, man. Like, you don't need a rap sheet always to say, maybe things are not settled with my guy in terms of Earl Thomas. So here's my thing. You said Gus Bradley's with the Chargers, right? Is he there? Yeah, he is. And, you know, Bruce Arians also coached Antonio Brown, and he's in Tampa Bay. And when Bruce Arians was asked about Antonio Brown, you said what he said? He said, hell no. And Gus Bradley right now has not raised his hand to say, hell yes. I think that's telling, Acho.
Go ahead.
You want me to go? I can let y'all continue. Because first and foremost, I'm upset that Tristan came on and outdid my button.
As you should be. I'm really upset about that
because I tried to come correct with my fit today. But as it applies to Earl, I think that it is unfair to judge him based off of the criteria that you're using and bringing into the conversation, Marcelo.
What, Derrick Henry running him down?
From the personal aspect of it, because sometimes people get caught up personally, and I understand he almost got into a bad situation as to what the outcome could have been, but that's still personal. I'm not going to base my team off of that particular setup because I don't know the deep, intricate details of that piece of it. But what I will say is I have been a part of practice scuffles. As a matter of fact, I have been a part of practice brawls where the entire defense and the entire offense came to fisticuffs, and that's just what it was. I mean, that might be more of an old school approach and style, but nonetheless, that is a reality that existed when I was playing. I look at Earl Thomas. He definitely can improve your team. So I give you a great example. Tyrann Mathieu was spoken about in probably far less flattering terms than what we're speaking on with Earl Thomas right now. When he left and went to the Kansas City Chiefs, a lot of people had the same concerns that you had, Marcellus, in terms of what Tyrann would bring to the table. Would he be disruptive? Could he stay out of trouble? Different things that people were questioning. But it was a great fit. The environment fit Tyrann, and Tyrann fit the environment. If the Chargers have an environment that Earl fits in and Earl can fit what the Chargers are looking for, they could have had the steal of the offseason and what the production of Earl Thomas could be. He's going to be motivated. He feels slighted. And ultimately, listening to you, Marcellus, he probably feels attacked as well. So to me, I think that it could be a great opportunity. For the greatest stories ever told are redemption stories. And this would be a great opportunity for him to redeem himself in whatever capacity he would deem it.
If football teams were only movies, if wins and losses were box office.
Remember the Titans?
They are.
Look, it's a Rayshon Jenkins, Desmond Kine, Nasir Adderley, and a sixth-round pick this year. Even Coach Anthony Lynn went on record, said, damn, all y'all tell me all the time is how deep my secondary is. Why now should I go out there and get someone? Why not develop the crop that I have right here? So Gus Bradley has not raised his hand, and it doesn't look like Anthony Lynn is looking outside as well. So if you're trying to say that being a person doesn't affect how they view you as a player, oh, LeVar, we've been in two different NFLs. Coming up in our big story,
I'm saying that.
Dak or Jimmy G. Criminal. Jerry Rice says Jimmy G. We'll tell you why we split our vote on who's better out of Dak than Jimmy G. Next, speak for yourself. This ain't LT Day. Speak for yourself, Marcellus Wiley, Emmanuel Acho. Don't adjust your TVs at home. Yes, he did wear that suit last week. Yeah.
He's lying.
It's a redo already.
He's lying.
Time for our big story. Let's move on to two quarterbacks with something to prove in 2020. Jimmy Garoppolo and Dak Prescott. Most of Dak's individual stats were better than Jimmy G's last season, but Dak's Cowboys failed to make the playoffs. While Jimmy G's Niners got to the Super Bowl but didn't get the trophy. Niner legend and GOAT Jerry Rice was asked, who would he rather have as his franchise quarterback? Listen to this.
Overall, I think Jimmy G is a better quarterback than
Dak. In 1 year? Jerry, he had one full year.
I'm sorry. Where, I'm just going to call it. That's just my opinion. That's my opinion, and I could be wrong. But I think right now that, you know, with Jimmy G, he's a better quarterback than Dak Prescott.
Jerry ain't risking no season tickets. All right, so Acho, which quarterback would you rather have? Jimmy GQ or Dak Prescott?
Yeah, Marcellus, this is one of those questions like, would I rather have a Twix or a Butterfinger? Like, they're both good, but neither are my favorite. When I think about Jimmy G and I think about Dak, both very good NFL quarterbacks. Both will win you a lot of games. I still have yet to see if they will win you the big game. Again, think about when it mattered most. What did they both do? Well, first, let's start with Jimmy G. Super Bowl, they were already up. Remember, all he had to do truly was make a couple throws. I just needed him to make about one
couple more throws because he already made some throws. He was out playing Patrick Mahomes for three quarters.
It was, past tense. Okay. But that's all I needed him to do. Make this throw and go down in history. I believe Emmanuel Sanders streaky game on the line. You miss him. In your biggest, most pivotal moment, your receiver beats the double team, probably cover four with a high safety. You miss him, okay. But then let's talk about Dak Prescott. Dak, again, will win you a lot of games, 40 games. But week 16 against the Eagles, all you got to do is beat a maligned Eagles team, and you will lead your Cowboys to the playoffs again for consecutive years. What happens? 3 of 14 on third down. You missed throws like that. So both quarterbacks, Marcellus, I hate to straddle the fence, but I don't want to be the hot take guy. I mean, who would I rather have? If you make me pick one, give me Dak because he has the ability to run as well. Give me Dak because he's playing for his contract, has a little bit more motivation. But I think they're both good. I think they're both above average. I think they're both top 10, top 12. But, like, I'm not in love with either one.
Damn, that was fast. You started off this show saying Dak was top 8. I had to talk you off that.
Cowboys fans would say that.
and now they're all good and not great. And
earn your damn paycheck, bro.
What you over here talking about? I don't want to be the hot take guy. And pick one. And
who you picking?
Oh, it's easy. And it's tough.
Look, if you're basing on what you've seen thus far, the calculator says Dak Prescott.
Does it, though? But it actually does. But if you base it on what you think it could be, it's Jimmy GQ. And that's the thing. This is a conversation of high ceiling versus no ceiling. Because Jimmy G only has 1 year. And in that 1 year, Dak did beat him in the head-to-head matchup in terms of their stats. However, Jimmy G has the Midas touch, some moxies, something about him that tells the 49ers, you win with me and you don't win without me.
Fair.
21-6 as a starter with the Niners, 4-12 when Jimmy G is sidelined. So that says something to me. I understand when I'm having a conversation about Dak's intangibles, I'm also being fascinated by Jimmy G's tangibles. So it is a splitting hair conversation, but Dak has a resume and a body of work that seems, as high as it is, limiting. But with Jimmy GQ, that pretty...
I don't know what it's going to be.
I don't know what it's going to be.
But here's my thing, and this is what I said. That's why I told Marcellus in private. I'll tell y'all in public. The problem with me and Marcellus, we're both too reasonable.
Yep.
Like, we could come up here and lie
normal
to y'all
human beings
and just say, oh, it's Dak. It's Jimmy G. The fact of the matter is, some conversations are tough. Like, you're the strongest argument, your best argument, which is a valid argument. With Jimmy G, the Niners win 80% of their games. He's 21-5 as a starter, I believe, in San Fran.
Yeah.
With Dak, Cowboys win 40, they're 40-24 with Dak. But the thing about it is, if the best argument is without Jimmy G, the Niners are no good, Dak's counter-argument is, you've never seen life without me, because I don't get hurt.
Yeah,
and if the best ability is availability, then Dak Prescott is sitting here saying, well, you can't knock me for not knowing how valuable I am, because you've never had to know life without me.
Right.
Whereas for Jimmy G, the Niners have had to know life without Jimmy G. So this is one of those topics where it's hard to choose again. I'm choosing Dak contract year. I'm choosing Dak. I like him more because he can run a little bit more, and I think his passers are equal. But on paper, both good. Neither, I think, can go win you the Super Bowl. They might not lose you the Super Bowl.
You're going that far.
Jimmy G is up in the fourth quarter if his top defense just shows up.
Sure.
It's wrapped.
But here's my problem, Marcellus. 24% of NFL games are decided by 3 points or less.
Yeah.
That's not a coincidence. So what does that mean? The best teams, they make those plays. Yeah. Those coin flip plays where you're like, that team barely won by 3 points. There's a reason. You know better than me. I'm talking to y'all.
But we have the Jimmy G Dak conversation.
Correct.
You took it to team. We
correct.
Can't go there.
Yes, my point being, if Jimmy G was who Jimmy G is supposed to be, who we're proclaiming him as, if he was elite, the Niners would have won. Like, put it like this.
One year as a starter and you get him into the Super Bowl and lead.
See, this conversation gets good now.
And you're going to say, it's Jimmy G's fault?
If Drew Brees was at quarterback instead of Jimmy G in that game, who would have won?
For the first three quarters?
For the whole game, who would have won?
I can't go there.
Even
if Drew Brees gave him a 10-point lead, he doesn't play defense.
You can say the defense let it go, but Jimmy G still had a chance to win. Like, that's my point. Yeah. Take the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. If you want to take, obviously we know what Mahomes, the Niners would have won. Russell Wilson, we know the Niners would have won. And I'm saying if you were to plug and chug these quarterbacks into the Niners, Russell Wilson, you know they would have won. Who else you want
to
take?
Like, wow. The same Drew Brees who lost to Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, and the same Russell Wilson that needed the quarterback from your Eagles to get hurt.
No, that's
the conversation. LeVar Arrington is in the building. LeVar.
Yeah, go to LeVar.
Please split this tie right now. Who you got, Jimmy GQ or Dak Prescott?
You guys made it sound so complicated and complex, and it's really not. It's Dak Prescott, hands down. And here's the thing that you guys aren't really bringing to the table as far as the discussion is concerned is you're right. They did lose the Super Bowl based upon the defense not delivering.
That was their formula for winning all season long. All right. So let's not take and say that Jimmy G is the better quarterback because he's almost to a Super Bowl. Jimmy G's defense delivered when they needed to deliver. Let's talk a little football, a little more football, right?
Yeah.
When you have a defense as stifling as the 49ers defense was, and their defensive front being as amazing as they were with some good, strong linebackers, you are forcing teams to have to play in a manner that is out of character. So you're giving someone like Jimmy Garoppolo the opportunity to manage games versus win games. Garoppolo is not needed to win games, all right? Garoppolo is not needed to win games. Dak Prescott, however, on the other side of the coin, is required to play at a level where games need to be decided by his performances. And let's keep this in mind. Garoppolo, with all of the accolades that he's had in terms of winning, has never been a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro caliber player thus far. While your one Dak Prescott has gotten it twice. He's been to the Pro Bowl twice and was a Rookie of the Year. His body of work says to me, you qualify him as the better quarterback out of the two.
I ain't even listened to you after you said Dak, but I know it's my turn to talk right now. say that? I mean, strong points, LeVar. I give you that, but we're really having a real conversation versus potential conversation, like kinetic energy versus potential energy in this conversation. Okay. And look, a bird in the hand versus two in the bush is really what we're doing right here, because Jimmy G's only played 1 year as a full-time starter. And look at the heights he ascended to. Well, with that said, I'm going to steal something from Acho that he stole from Colin Cowherd in terms of a blind resume. And I want y'all to tell me who is who on this 13-3 quarterback's blind resume. As we can see, one quarterback has more touchdowns. Let's stay on the red column. 13 interceptions, more interceptions, and more touchdowns. A little risky over there. Completion percentage, though, safe with the ball in that respect. Passing yards a little more, but the passer rating down. Who is who?
Dak on the right. I know Dak.
Dak's on the right in the blue.
His rookie year.
Dak, what does it matter? It's Dak in the red. It's not Dak in the red.
See, LeVar, you should let me have that one. But Marcellus, dang, I'm going to take your blind resume and raise you, sir, because that's what this show's all about.
I can't see. I'm blind.
Look at the years, though, man. Look at the years.
I get it, but I'm bumped the years. That's equal to me. Like, okay, Jimmy G's going to give you more passing touch. Like, what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that it is a splitting hair argument. But
it's
if you're
not
splitting
you
the hairs, and one has the ultimate team success, or closer than, as Otto would say, quarterbacks are graded on wins and losses, and can you win a Super Bowl? Neither one has, but which one got in position two?
There goes that legal degree that you got at
private school.
Yeah,
let's get past this football debate and get to the real debate.
What's the real?
Twitter is on alert right now, blowing up, because they want to know who really won the battle of the button-up shirts.
We got
Nino High Top.
Here we go.
Colors brown.
Here we go.
And Dolce & Gabbana Wakanda Beyonce collection. And Tristan, who won the shirt?
Now, it just depends on who you like.
If we're going shirts alone, Tristan, I got to go with Tristan.
Tristan destroyed him.
Shirts alone. I mean, LeVar's shirt has a little too much slack. LeVar, you should do some more shoulder shrugs. Your shoulders slouching a little more. Sit back. Pronounce your shoulders in that chest a little bit.
Mess.
You're a little bit wrinkled. Tristan clearly got his stuff.
That's not wrinkled.
He came on set.
I don't know.
When you add the chain, LeVar with the chain, that is what levels him slightly ahead of Tristan right there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I'm not
wrinkled.
Hold on. You are wrinkled. Either that or your muscles.
I am not. I've lost like 10 pounds. But I'm not wrinkled.
Well, then you need to go buy a new shirt because you're 10 pounds less. You got to keep up with your weight. Here's the thing. Where I'm from, if you wore your chain on the outside, girls would say you were a little thirsty. You just had to show your chain today, right? Like, that's a day where you just go without the chain, because Tristan went without the chain, and he destroyed you, big dog. Coming up,
he didn't destroy you, little
dang. Thank you, Manuel.
Was invincible.
Marcellus is a natural hater.
We'll tell you if the Bucks should be worried. Next, he wore that shirt thinking he was going to destroy it.
He did.
And then Tristan came.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's head back to the NBA, where the Bucks lost game one for the second series in a row. The Heat won by 11, and one of the big reasons, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the man we know as the Greek Freak, was non-existent in the fourth quarter, scoring only 3 points on 1-of-4 shooting while adding 3 turnovers to the mix. Ugh. We're joined by Fox analyst, my guy, Chris Broussard, CB. But Marcellus, I'm coming to you first. Should the Bucks be worried that Giannis, he ain't a closer?
Yeah. It's unfortunate, too, because this is a guy who's going to be walking the planet. And only two other guys has done what he's about to do, which is win Defensive Player of the Year and MVP in the same season. But still, as I learned in the NFL, everyone has a scouting report. And no matter who you are and how great you are, there's a positive side of that sheet and a negative side of that sheet. I saw the one on Peyton Manning, and it blew my mind that they can even list that many things against Peyton Manning. And the list is starting to grow on Giannis. I think the aura of invincibility was broken last year, just being real. It just seems like when this team lost to the eventual champions in Kawhi Leonard and Toronto Raptors, but they were up 2-0. And then you have the MVP up 2-0, and you can't even push that to a game 7. Think about that. Basically get swept out from being up 2-0. And that was the first time people said, oh, wait a minute. Kind of like a Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas moment where people are now not kept at bay. They're kind of stepping to you with a little more confidence. And we're seeing it right now. We saw it with Orlando, game one. Orlando like, we ain't scared of y'all. And then they got beat up. But now we're seeing Miami, who is more loaded than Orlando, saying, we're not scared of you either. And I think it's all really just shots at Giannis saying, hey, we love your game. We know you're expanding your game and growing your game, but we still smell blood in the water. I think that it is time to start fearing that he may not be the closer.
Marcellus, this one pains me, my brother, because Giannis, though we call him the Greek Freak, he's really my Nigerian brother.
Say it.
See, but Giannis, he's not a closer. I got my suspicions August 2nd. The Bucks were playing the Rockets. I'm sitting at home and I'm watching the game. The Bucks are down by one. Giannis, you just got to make a play. What are you doing?
Give me that.
Turns it over. So then my eyebrow was raised, CB, but now this past game, 111-104, you have to make a play, MVP. You have to. And it looks like you're a fish out of water trying to be the primary ball handler, trying to create your own shot. I'm not just going to judge off last night and have some sort of recency bias as to saying Giannis isn't a closer. But when you look at last year, like what Marcellus said, then you look at this year, and not just last night, but going back into early August when, again, the Bucks needed him to deliver, he's making some plays that aren't MVP-esque. He's doing some things consistently that aren't MVP-esque. And I know what you might say, Acho, you just showed me 2 plays. But remember, the game was 104-98. Giannis is at the stripe. He's shooting throws. But throws is preceded by the word free. He's shooting free throws. And he goes 0-for-2. So now it's 104-98. Bucks go down and score again, and now the game is essentially out of reach. So had Giannis hit them 2 free throws, all of a sudden it would have been a 1-possession game at 106-103. Completely different ball game with a minute and change left. So although it hurts me to say, Giannis, he's not a closer right now at this stage in his career.
Yeah, look, the Bucks aren't worried that he's not a closer. They know he's not a closer. I mean, the fact is this team doesn't have many close games. They had the fewest number of close games of any teams in the playoffs. That's three points or less. They only had 5. Several teams, the Lakers, the Clippers, had twice the amount. But in the few close games they had, if you watch them, they don't go to Giannis down the stretch. It's not because he doesn't have the heart. Some guys aren't closers because they just get scared. They don't have the heart. That's not Giannis's problem. Giannis doesn't have a go-to move. Giannis doesn't have a consistent mid-range jumper, and we know he's a relatively poor 3-point shooter. So once a team closes, walls off the lane and closes down those straight line drives, look at that. He's got nothing to go to. And that's the problem. So what the Bucks do at the end of games is they go to ball movement. And whoever gets the open shot takes it. It could be Kyle Korver. It could be Brooke
Lopez.
Let
me ask you this, CB.
It could be Chris Middleton.
Let me ask you this then. Let's get back to the question at hand. Should the Bucks be worried he's not a closer? Remember, and you know far better than I, in the playoffs, it's not going to be these blowouts that the Bucks are used to playing in. It's going to be a lot more tight games where sooner or later, like we saw Chris Paul last night, 98-92, hits a tray. 98-95, hits a tray, tied ball game. Sooner or later, you need a guy over, you need ball movement. Should the Bucks therefore be worried that their best player about to win MVP isn't a closer?
Yes, because most teams have that superstar you can just give the ball to. Okay, the defense knows your plays. They know what you like to do, your moves, but they still can't stop you. Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul, you know, Damian Lillard, you know, guys like that. James Harden. They can't do that. What they're going to have to do is find ways to get Giannis the ball. I don't think they... At the end of games, they need to have him bringing the ball up court and just trying to drive into a wall, which you saw some of these highlights. They're going to have to get him moving, set some screens for him where he can be moving, flashing into the lane or across the lane or toward a block and get it there. Maybe get it at the elbow and then make a quick move and try to score in the paint. Because otherwise, they are in trouble. Now, I still got them in 7 winning this series. But an upset is very, very possible because they don't have a closer. Last thing I'll say, a Hall of Fame player who's very active in the league now told me, believe it or not, last week, he said, I think Giannis is a number 2 guy because he doesn't have that go-to move. Sounds crazy, but Anthony Davis is in that boat. I think Scottie Pippen was in that boat. You need a go. That's why Kawhi is such a great closer. Because he can get to that mid-range at several spots on the floor and get a shot anytime he wants. Giannis, unfortunately, at this stage, doesn't have it.
I need that Hall of Fame player to say his name so we can talk about that. Coming up, we're a little more than a week away from the NFL season. Oh, I can't wait. And Alvin Kamara, he's holding out for more money? We'll tell you if we like it. Next, speak for yourself. Ooh-la.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Uncle Jimmy is off. He'll be back tomorrow. The Saints are at camp right now without their star running back, Alvin Kamara. Kamara has been unexcused since Friday, and all signs point to a holdout until he gets a new contract. Ooh. Now comes news from Josina Anderson that the Saints are open to trading Kamara. So, Acho, requesting the timing of Kamara's
shootout. It is a little shiesty, shall we say that. But remember, around this time, around 1,100 players are usually getting cut on Black Friday in the NFL after that final preseason game. So Kamara's just giving the NFL and the organization a little taste of their own medicine. But they better find a way to make it work, because although Kamara was banged up a little bit in recent history, when he's healthy, dude is a superstar on the level of the McCaffreys of the world.
I'm not a holdout person, but if you're going to hold out, do it at the worst time for the organization. Stick it to them, man. The difference between self and selfless is not much, because they both have one thing in common. Self. Take care of yourself, Alvin Kamara. You only got so many reps in that body.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.